Israel is a number one priority for his administration.
The bonds between the United States and Israel are unbreakable. And the commitment of the United States to the security of Israel is ironclad. A strong and secure Israel is in the national security interests of the United States.
Obama assured Tel Aviv that no possible UN vote would ever create an independent Palestinian state.
No vote at the United Nations will ever create an independent Palestinian state, and the United States will stand up against efforts to single Israel out at the United Nations or in any international forum.
This was exactly what the AIPAC president demanded just before Obama took the podium.
Any effort to pursue a unilateral declaration of a Palestinian state at the United Nations will be opposed by the United States.
The U.S. president called for negotiations between Israel and Palestinians based on the pre-1967 war lines, but with what he called mutually agreed swaps. Obama insisted that Israel's existence must never be a subject of discussion. His address in AIPAC comes days after he called for peace negotiations between Israelis and Palestinians based on the 1967 borders. That speech angered Israel.
It cannot go back to the 1967 lines.
But Obama knows a U.S. president seeking re-election would need the Zionists' backing.
But do remember this. It's an election year. And Obama won the Jewish vote in 2008. But in the swing state of Florida, political analysts are saying that he must move very, very carefully now to keep his support among American Jews who support Netanyahu.
Now, the annual AIPAC policy conference has taken place amid protests by Americans against the lobby's overreach in government. Press TV's Majanasi reports from Washington.
As the annual American-Israel Public Affairs Committee policy conference took place in Washington, protesters gathered outside the convention to express their disappointment toward their representatives and others attending the conference.
This is just lobbyists that are coming today, a huge amount of lobbyists for more and more money. And we need the money here in our own country, plus they're using it for guns and weapons to destroy the Palestinian people.
We've seen that in our state in Massachusetts, where we just elected a state treasurer, who is pretty high up and has been very high up in AIPAC, and now our governor has just gone to Israel and brought back contracts. So it has a large effect on what goes on in our country.
Protesters here see Obama's speech at AIPAC as yet another example of the United States' unwavering support for Israel, putting the U.S. in no position to lead the so-called peace process in that part of the world. One protester, an Israeli activist, stated her views on the peace process.
There is no peace process because my people, the Israelis, keep taking everything they can because they have the power and the impunity to do so. There is no peace process in Israel-Palestine, and it is very much the fault of the U.S., because if the U.S. decided to stop providing the immense diplomatic and economic support to Israel, things would change.
Protesters included religious leaders, one of which discussed the impact of Christian Zionism on the Palestinian people.
So I think that Christian Zionism has been a very, very destructive force in supporting the occupation and helping to build the settlements, frankly. And those settlements are built on land that belongs to Palestinians. And they oppress the people and they continually confiscate more land.
Protests began Friday on the arrival of Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to Washington and will continue until Tuesday. Marjan Asi, Press TV, Washington.
In Egypt, the Muslim Brotherhood is calling on people to boycott nationwide protests planned for Friday. The group says boycotting the demonstrations is a national duty. The marches have been called by other revolutionary groups. This is to voice their opposition to the idea of offering amnesty to former President Hosni Mubarak and other members of his regime. The Muslim Brotherhood says the protest organizers claim that the aim of the protest is to pressure the junta into speeding up Mubarak and his companions' trials is false. Mubarak resigned in February after a wave of anti-government protests in which hundreds were killed. Now we're joined by Ehab Zahria, our Press TV correspondent through Skype. Ehab, can you please give us the latest update with the Egyptian revolution and what's going on?
Well, as you all know, that on May 27th, this coming Friday, Egyptians are calling for the second revolution. That's right, just after months after their first revolution that took place starting on January 25th and toppled their former president, Hosni Mubarak. Egyptians feel now that the revolution has not succeeded completely, and they still have many more demands that have not been met. And one of those demands, of course, has to do with who's running the country. They say that the current leaders of the country, the military rule, is not listening to the people precisely, and that they're doing things just like the old regime. Now, on the other hand, the Muslim Brotherhood, one of the largest opposition parties, if not the largest opposition party in Egypt, is telling people not to participate in these protests. The Muslim Brotherhood wants to get back, saying Egypt is not ready for a second revolution just yet. But the people say that the Muslim Brotherhood has a lot to gain from not having this revolution, because it's the revolution that took place.
Mubarak stepped down. The Muslim Brotherhood has gained a lot in terms of politics. They are now an official political party. They plan to run 40 to 50% of parliamentary seats, and they're even going to submit a candidate for presidency. So the protesters here feel that the Muslim Brotherhood is only thinking about its own interests. Meanwhile, the protesters say that we still have economic issues. We still have members of the old regime that are active. We still have democratic issues that are not being addressed. And we still have a clampdown on protesters and on people who are trying to push for freedom of speech. And we've seen in front of the Israeli embassy just last week that the military clamped down on protesters. So there's a lot that needs to change, the people say, and they want to push for those changes coming this Friday.
That was Ihab Zahria joining us from giving us the latest with the Egyptian revolution, our Press TV correspondent. Thank you for joining us.
All right, now moving on with the news, the Persian Gulf Cooperation Council has suspended efforts to mediate a safe exit for Yemeni President Ali Abdullah Saleh. GCC ministers made the announcement after Saleh refused to sign a power transition deal. The accord would have guaranteed him immunity from prosecution in exchange for stepping down within 30 days. Earlier, Saleh said he won't sign the deal unless opposition representatives are present in his office. He also said the opposition will be responsible for ensuing bloodshed and civil war if the accord is not signed. Meanwhile, government forces killed at least two protesters and injured many others in the capital Sana'a and the southern city of Taiz. The demonstrators say Saleh must stand trial for killing hundreds of anti-regime protesters.
Spain's ruling Socialist Party has been punished by voters in local and regional elections. With almost 91% of votes counted, Premier José Luis Zapatero's party is headed for big losses. The Socialists have only managed to win nearly 28% of votes. This, while the conservative opposition Popular Party has won more than 38% of ballots. Zapatero has come under heavy criticism for his handling of Spain's economy. Unemployment currently runs at 20%, at the highest in the Eurozone. Tens of thousands of Spaniards have protested against the government's austerity measures during the past week.
Well, regional elections have been held in the German state of Bremen. Chancellor Angela Merkel suffered a serious blow in the polls as her conservative Christian Democratic Party was pushed down to third place. Press TV's Stefan Herrmann reports.
It was yet another painful defeat for Angela Merkel's Christian Democrats. In the regional election in the federal state of Bremen, it was the Social Democrats who gained 38% of the vote and can continue to govern in a coalition with the Greens. With 23% of the vote, they, for the very first time, even overtook the Conservatives, who sank to 20%.
For Christian Democrats, this result is a bitter and painful defeat.
Eine schmerzhafte Niederlage.
The Social Democrats have ruled Bremen state for 65 consecutive years. Though Bremen is the smallest federal state, it has the highest debt, the most welfare recipients, the worst results in education and the highest crime rate of Germany's 16 states. Mayor Jens Bernsen is enjoying high popularity ratings, nonetheless, clearly outshining all his opponents.
Angela Merkel Angela Merkel is obviously unable to win elections for her party. With her unpredictable policies, she is harming her party, and I wonder how long the conservative frontrunners will put up with this.
The Greens are yet again the winners in this super election year. They have gained votes for the 15th consecutive time. In Bremen, they won 6% more votes than in 2007.
Lange Zeit hieß es, Bündnis 90 Die Grünen sind eine Schönwetterpartei.
For a long time, we were called a fair weather party. We can only win when in opposition. But the Bremen elections have proven the exact opposite.
Zeigt, dass wir auch aus der Regierung heraus kräftig zulegen können.
For the Free Democrats, it was the first election under their new chairman, Philipp Rösler. But with only 3%, they did not make it into the next parliament. Angela Merkel's conservative-liberal coalition won less than a quarter of the votes. For the opposition, a clear signal that Germans are fed up with the federal government too. It was already the fifth state election this year, and Angela Merkel's CDU has lost support in four of them. Voters are increasingly unhappy with her handling of the Euroregion debt crisis and her reversal of support for nuclear energy. Stefan Herrmann, Press TV, Berlin.
In Georgia, an opposition party has called for a day of rage on Wednesday to try to force the president to resign. Riot police opened fire on over 10,000 protesters calling for revolution in the capital. The protesters accused President Mikhail Saakashvili of imposing autocracy in Georgia. They also accused their government of using its powers against its people. The protesters have promised that May 25th would be the last day for what they call this regime. The day of rage scheduled for Wednesday as echoes of ongoing revolutions in the Middle East. The rally is planned for only a day before Georgia marks its 20th anniversary of independence.
Well, our militants have attacked a naval base in the southern Pakistani city of Karachi, killing at least six people, including two Navy officers. Several explosions rocked the base late on Sunday. The total number of casualties remains unclear. Local media reports say at least five others, including a foreigner, have been injured. A Navy spokesman says a maritime patrol aircraft has been destroyed. Authorities have sent in commandos to battle the attackers. Over a dozen gunmen are believed to be inside the base. The attack comes weeks after Pakistani militants pledged to avenge the killing of Osama bin Laden. The Al-Qaeda leader was killed in an American raid in the Pakistani town of Abbottabad earlier this month. Well, joining me from Karachi is Press TV's Mohammed Touri with the latest. Mohammed, over to you. What's the latest from this attack?
Well, the latest is, Hassan, that according to the naval spokesperson, Irfan Ulhaq, I just talked to him and he said that there are discussions in the local media that why is it so that commandos, especially the special services group of Pakistan Navy and the naval marines are taking too long to control these assailants and attackers. He's saying that we are handling the situation very carefully in order to minimize the damage to our assets. That's why it is taking too long. And he denied these news in the local media that they have taken somebody as hostage and they are controlling the assailants are controlling the building there, any building there. He strongly denied these things and said that that's a military operation is going on and we are taking the situation very carefully and that's why it is taking too long. But according to some other sources, and there is one more thing he didn't talk about. He didn't tell us or any other media about the casualties on the other side. While according to some unconfirmed, let me say it again, unconfirmed sources, that six people, six assailants, six attackers were gunned down, and four were
yes, and Mohammed.
Were arrested, including one injured. And let me tell you this, that before he denied that, no, there is only one 3CO-ian American-made plane which is
all right, but Mohammed,
destroyed, but now he's saying...
Yes, Mohammed, are there any U.S. Navy officials involved in this attack? What are you hearing?
Sorry?
Are there any U.S. Navy officials involved in this attack?
Well, I asked him this question specially, and he said that all the foreigners were out. They were not in the base. The naval officials who were actually killed here, he confirmed that four officials, 30 minutes before when I contacted him, he said, no, just two people are killed. One, the local media was saying, and other people who were outside were saying that four naval officials have been gunned down and killed in that combat in between assailants and them. Lieutenant Yasser and Khalil Rahman, Lieutenant Yasser, naval official, and Khalil Rahman from the he was a fireman who was killed in this attack.
All right, I'm sorry we have to leave it there, Mohammed. We are running out of time here on Press TV. That was Mohammed Touri, our correspondent, reporting from Pakistan, Karachi.
Continuing right along in Iraq, the death toll from a series of bomb blasts in and around the capital of Baghdad has risen to at least 19. Most of the dead are police officers. Over 80 others were injured in the explosions. This comes as the U.S. military says two American soldiers have been killed while conducting operations in central Iraq. However, an Iraqi interior official has said the troopers were slain when their convoy was hit by a bomb on the outskirts of Baghdad. Three other soldiers were also wounded in the blast. The fatalities are the first U.S. military deaths in Iraq in nearly a month.
Reports out of Morocco say several people have been injured in clashes between police and anti-government protesters. The violence broke out after police charged hundreds of demonstrators marching through the streets of the capital, Rabat. The protesters wanted to camp outside the parliament building, despite a ban on protests in the North African country. Also on Friday, a group of unemployed graduates staged a protest rally to demand jobs. Morocco has been the scene of unrest following uprisings in Egypt and Tunisia.
The Iranian intelligence minister says the CIA has not been able to achieve its goals in Iran.
The moves and strategies of the 30 people that we arrested have provided us with an insight into the way the CIA carries out its operations, and this will help us confront them more effectively in the future. And the fact that they were not able to accomplish their objectives itself is very valuable.
On Saturday, Iran announced that 30 people have been arrested on charges of sabotage and spying for the U.S. Moslehi says the spy ring was directly taking orders from the CIA. He also says it was headed and operated by top field agents working for the U.S. spy agency. Iran says the spies were trying to gather intelligence on its oil and gas pipelines, power grids, telecommunications, banking, airports, and customs.
And in Saudi Arabia, female activists are calling on women to defy a ban on women drivers. The women activists say that Saudi laws actually allow them to drive, but it's the social stigma that's holding them back. The activists have called for the women to drive their cars on June 17th. Their call comes only a day after a woman defied the ban and got behind the wheel in the authoritarian kingdom. Manal al-Sharif has posted footage of herself behind the wheel on Facebook and YouTube to encourage others to take to the road. Al-Sharif and a group of other women have launched a Facebook page to urge Saudi authorities to lift the driving ban. But the activists say she was detained by the country's morality police. Women in the Arab Kingdom have long complained of suppression and violations of their basic rights.
That's going to wrap up your latest here on World News. But don't forget our website, www.presstv.ir. You can watch us live and listen to us on audio stream. And, of course, we love to hear from you and give us your input and feedback. www.presstv.ir.
And thanks for watching Press TV. Stay tuned. Razia is up next with Sports International. Stay tuned.